the MadTech Podcast, news of the week in ad tech and marketing tech, brought to you by ExchangeWire.
Hello and welcome to this special episode of the MadTech Podcast. My name is Lindsay Roundtree and I am Director of Operations at ExchangeWire. And I am joined today by the wonderful Ollie Marlowe-Thomas, who is founder of Adlib, who were recently acquired by Smartly.io. Hello, Ollie.
Hello, good morning, Lindsay.
How are you doing?
Good, love to see you. Thank you for having me in.
And you as well. So I've got you live with me in the office. And then my second special guest is Alex Robertson, who is head of marketing for Etihad Airways. And Alex is joining us virtually from Abu Dhabi. Hello, Alex.
Hello, and good afternoon from my end.
It looks far sunnier at your end than it is over here.
Oh, I don't want to start a competition this early in the conversation, but yes, it is quite sunny here. Thank you for having me.
It's great to have you. And it's a very poignant day for me, I think, Ollie. So it was, I think, 5 years ago yesterday that we were first introduced by the lovely Lorette Netar. And I remember it was Valentine's Day because she bought us each a chocolate heart.
That is crazy. Good memory. Mm. Yeah, she did bring us a chocolate heart. We wooed you.
Yes,
you wrote a lovely article about Adlib.
5 years later, here we are recording a podcast special with the company who just got acquired. It's very exciting. And today we're here to talk about creative and the opportunity around creative. And it feels like it's a conversation that everyone, I think, particularly in the UK, gets a bit bored of, because everyone feels like, well, creative and data, we've talked about it, it's all been done. But it's amazing how important it is and how prevalent the conversation still is and how much more there still is to do in this realm. So I want to kind of kick off the conversation really by kind of understanding kind of what the role of creative in marketing strategy and execution actually is. So we're lucky enough to have kind of Ollie, you have built a business around this, and Alex, of course, it's very, very important for you as one of the, you know, biggest brands in the world. Creative is such an important part of what you guys do in being able to promote your products and everything around it. So it's fascinating to be able to have this conversation with both of you and see you take the conversation. So Ollie, I'm going to start with you and kind of understand, you know, from your perspective, where is the conversation with creative going for you, and kind of what the conversations you've been having with your clients?
Look, thanks also, Alex, for joining. Really appreciate it. It's great to be able to, you know, vendor and partner talk today. I think, Lindsay, firstly, I'm intrigued that you think creative has been a conversation that has, there's been a lot of it. Like, I find the opposite. Like, I think there's been a lot of conversations about data, technology infrastructure, cookies and ID targeting. And I think the thing the user actually sees has been largely forgotten. The whole industry has revolved for the last like 5-6 years around how we do better from a targeting perspective, how we get more effective with our media buying. And actually, the kind of the visual or the message has not been a priority. And I think that was really, you know, 5 years ago when we sucked on our sort of lollipops, we sort of discussed this, and I explained that I just felt that this was an under sort of utilized and under resourced area, both at brands and in the tech space. And you know, what we've seen is really the industry has also moved, and I've got lucky with timing, of course, but the industry has also moved over the last like kind of year, couple of years, to realize and appreciate, I think, the value of creative. You know, if we just take a step back and look at why, you know, I started the company 5 years ago, it was really off the back of a study that I did when I was at Google, which looked at the role of media, targeting, you know, data and creative. And the first three, you know, they can be optimized and isolated. And we did that at Google. And we saw like some tweaks in performance uplift. The last one, by far the most time consuming, by far the most clunky, and by far the most expensive, creative had the biggest impact on performance. I think it was 7 times any of the others. And that has been the simple message that I've gone to the market with. Really simple, right? There are 4 things that make up a campaign, those 4, and I think the one that really matters, you're not spending time on. And we have proved it now time and time again with these big advertisers, that if they do spend time on this, they can really impact performance. And, you know, it's great to have Alex here because we've seen this with Etihad, you know, and with many brands. You know, time and time again, we're running these tests, we're optimizing the messaging, much of it done in real time, and we're really seeing results. And by the way, that's across the whole funnel, right? So it's not just DR, you know, really down and dirty, like driving sales, it's upper funnel messaging as well. And I think that's, you know, that's what gets me still really excited about being at Adlib. But I'd be really interested to hear whether Alex kind of agrees. And you know, you've been a customer of Adlib's for some time. Over to you, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, Alex, from your perspective, I mean, I imagine, of course, for a brand like Etihad, generically, creative has always been very, very important for you. But what's interesting is the digital journey, I guess, in terms of creative, because actually what we've often seen with a lot of marketers is a disconnect between a TV creative and then what is using a digital banner, for example, and the two approaches to how they are dealt with are very, very different. What's your journey been for creative, and why is it so important to you for cross-channel marketing as much as anything kind of in a singular channel in isolation?
I think it's a great question. And again, thank you for having me on. I think Ollie touched upon some of the core themes there that are really kind of important that we will see continue to be even more important as we move forward. I think that actually there's going to be a reemergence of a focus on creative as we move forward. And I do agree that I think that there's been a lot of focus on sort of direct to consumer and the targeting component of the marketing and media world. And I think that creative has somewhat taken an afterthought, with the exception of sort of the really upper funnel type messaging. I think that where we're seeing consumers consume more of their marketing and more of their advertising, which is almost on the same platforms that they're actually choosing to then purchase or book or experience a product, as those as that content and then booking channels become closer and closer together, I think that the importance of having creative that tells the same story and speaks to the consumer in a very authentic way is going to be critically important. And I think, you know, some of your guests on the show previously who I've heard speak have spoken quite interestingly about the importance of content and where we place advertising. And I actually think that that's actually missing a component of the message, right? Which is that consumers don't necessarily not want advertising. They want good advertising that is related to them. They don't want their data to be illegitimately breached. And so I think that just as important as the content that consumers are watching, reading, browsing, is the actual advertising that we're serving to consumers. And if there's a way that we can do that more effectively, more efficiently from a business perspective, it's only going to become more important as we move forward.
And that's a very interesting point, actually. And I think that ties in with what I asked as well about how you manage that from an omnichannel perspective. And that's kind of, that's what I think what the challenge is and what the challenge has been and why, Ollie, I guess, companies like Adlib are doing so well is what, you know, if I want to be able to effectively mirror what I'm achieving in my TV campaigns online in digital channels, what tools do I need and kind of what is out there to help me and how is that evolving? And actually, are agencies and marketers aware of these tools and are they using them to the best of the abilities that exist?
Well, I think quite a lot of the time the answer is no, to be totally transparent with you. You know, there's a huge amount of noise in our industry. I think more than any other industry. I actually talk to a lot of my friends and hear about their industries, and it is crazy, the noise. And I think that's partly because of innovation. So, like, you know, there's a lot of opportunity, which creates innovation, which means there's a lot of noise. But I think it becomes very tricky for advertisers to cut through and understand, you know, what really is going to make an impact on their campaigns. I think it's particularly challenging when there's so many vendors that are pitching you all the time to really, like, understand, as I say, where the impact is. You know, at Adlib, we took a very, I guess, direct approach saying, look, we believe very strongly in this idea of media consolidation, right? We think that over the next five years, you know, the days of buying on the internet through many different vendors are short, and that actually the advertisers want to simplify their activations. And I think we've seen that already. I think in 2021, it was something, and I don't want to quote incorrectly, but it was something like 75% of all media online was bought by Google, Facebook, or Amazon. So, right, like, there is a consolidation happening.
I think we've seen some of the stats. Yeah, good. I think you're about on the money there. Yeah, I will cover your back. Yeah. You can sue me, not Ollie.
So, you know, with that in mind, there is the opportunity to simplify the ecosystem, right? And I think to answer your question, you know, are there two pairs? There are. Is a change coming? I think it is. And I think it's coming because of, like, actually the industry and the changes in the cookie. I mean, it's going to be much more complicated for ad tech businesses to pop up and build a whole bit in business around something that actually now the big players dominate, and that's just the story of the industry as a whole, right? That's in some ways it's a shame, right? And I know, you know, Kieran and I'm a big, obviously huge advocate of independent ad tech, but I think there is now a requirement, because it's got so complicated, for some level of consolidation to happen, and I think we're well positioned to take advantage of that, actually.
Absolutely, and consolidation doesn't obviously necessarily have to mean that it's the industry is owned by four big players.
For sure, yeah. Well, there's Ads.
Exactly. There's AdLib now owned by Smartly. That's exactly those kinds of things.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that's an interesting point. And actually, you know, from the marketer perspective, Alex, I'm fascinated in what your thoughts are on this in terms of how you then manage all the different tech partners you work with, because bringing creative into it, often creative isn't managed by your DSP or kind of any of your kind of like usual tech partners. How are you able to make sure that when you're optimizing against creative, you can do so alongside everything else and bring all that data effectively into one place to really understand how creative is working for you?
I think it's a great question. And I agree that, you know, if you look at the amount of spend that is kind of placed against those sort of three core players, it is going to amount for the vast majority of brands to, you know, I would agree 75-80% of their overall spend. And I think that oftentimes you're being brought a lot of different creative ideas that would be great to be able to roll them all out. But at the end of the day, we're always going to be the arm of a business which is going to be the sort of tightly resourced and, you know, has to have a speed to market component to it. And I think when you're able to implement technology well, and utilize inputs from the consumer to create content that is creatively effective, that can be distributed across channel very quickly, I think you're going to be in a stronger place to both react to market trends, but also to be able to deliver to the consumer what they want to see.
Oh, sorry. Do you work with media agencies or do you run all of your media in-house?
We work with media agencies to distribute our content, but then we work with partners such as AdLib and then also advertising agencies and creative agencies to develop some of the content strategies that we have. So it's really a trifecta kind of relationship. And I think that companies like AdLib are really strong in positioning themselves to not necessarily take the place of any one of those other players at the table, but they're really a technology that enables us to enhance the type of creative that we run and how quickly we can get it to market across multiple different channels and different environments.
Mm. And so a question for you then, Ollie. Obviously, we're speaking to Alex, who, you know, Etihad are a switched on marketer. They know what they're doing. They've been working with you guys for a while. They understand the importance of creative in this context. How is your relationship with how have you seen agencies change their approach to content, creative? How are you seeing, are they taking more ownership of that conversation? I'm talking about media agencies versus creative agencies. How's the relationship there changing in your experience? And, you know, that's Google experience, I guess, as well as kind of your AdLib experience. Yeah. And how are you seeing marketers take more control of that conversation as well?
Hey, look, like, the reason why I started the company is because I wanted to disrupt a space. And I think there was a massive opportunity here. And to answer the first part of your question, which is how the media agencies starting to look at this space, well, they 100% are, right? Like, and I think, you know, it's because of a slower approach to digital from the creative agencies. I think the traditional creative agencies have not invested, perhaps, as they could have done into the digital opportunity, despite, you know, I think there's another good stat, I think 70% of, or 62% of US advertisers is now on digital. But I would say, like, 80 or 90% of the investment of creative is into the TVSM, right? So there is still a big miss in how brands go about assigning their budget to this opportunity. You know, and Alex can probably add to that, right? But I think on the media agency side, they've seen this, right, as a big opportunity. And they are starting to tap into it. And we are seeing more and more you know, RFPs coming out of the media agency space wanting to understand the creative technology infrastructure space. And we're also seeing media agencies building their own capabilities in-house and their own technology. You know, there's plenty of them. I think Omnicom have a business now doing it. So do Publicis. So do Dentsu. WPP is starting to build something. So like there is, and I think announced something last year actually, or the middle of last year. So these agencies are realizing that on the media side, they can own the digital creative space, which is a huge opportunity for them. As we all know, creative has good margin, right? It's not like media. On the creative agency space, I guess just to sort of sum up there, I think the challenge really is around commercials and like go-to-market and education. You know, this space, as you know, is full of complex acronyms and full of, I think, very challenging setups for brands. And the creative agencies, I don't think, have got quite a lot of the time the right people to address those challenges. I think this is all enhanced by the fact media and creative have got like further and further apart over the last like 10 years, you know, and the creative agencies are planning in isolation, the media agencies are planning in isolation. And I think part of the media agency push is to try and bring that control back. But yeah, it's a very convoluted space as far as like where creative technology sits with the agencies as well. And that's something like we're working on. We're trying to partner a bit closer with agencies this year. So I'm really excited to see how that goes. And we've traditionally gone direct to brand. But yeah, I think there's a huge amount of opportunity for the media agencies in particular if they do get this right. But it will be at the detriment of the creative agencies.
I think that just building on that, Ollie, if I may, I think that one of the interesting things that we can see, right, is that if you use creative technology, it gives you an opportunity to at a very cost-effective manner for marketeers, it gives you an opportunity to test a lot of different types of creative on our audiences. So it almost reverses the legacy framework of looking at advertising. I think historically it was always start with the television spot, you know, invest a significant amount of your overall brand budget to that placement. And then from there, you'd look at digital. And I think this gives us an opportunity to reverse that conversation, right? Where we can look at what's working in real time, what insights can we glean from our marketing, what our consumers want to see, and especially at a cross-channel perspective, and then use that to scale up and actually focus on the areas that are working and are most effective for the business, but not without necessarily investing a significant amount of time or cost resources into those tests.
And that's a very interesting point from both of you. And actually, Ollie, your point about how much investment goes into creative versus what goes into actually digital advertising in the first place is a similar argument that's been had in mobile, the mobile industry, for about the past 15 years since it's been the year of the mobile first started, and it's probably still going on, that the lag behind investment from usage is ridiculous. And actually, it's the creative point I never actually thought about. That's a really, really interesting perspective. And I think that what's also interesting, and Alex, the point you just made in terms of how you're able to iterate new different types of creative and be able to retest and learn. And Ollie, you mentioned at the very beginning that you feel like the creative conversation just isn't really happening enough, and that the media versus creative conversation has just kind of got further and further apart over the past 10 years. But there's been tools around for a long time. You know, from my days in the media agency, which were a few years now, there were tools then that we could iterate different types of creative. They weren't anywhere near as advanced as what they are now, but the tools existed. So why do we think that the conversation has grown so far apart? Why is creative not as important as it should be?
Well, it's a big loaded question. I think. I was going to swear, but I guess I can't swear.
You can swear.
I think it's
everyone
fucking
else swears
hard.
On this. There we go.
I think it's fucking hard, right? I think it's not, you know, like when we started, we were like, oh God, this is going to be, you know, this is a big gap in the industry. All we need to do is like show people on the client side a visualization of their audience's structure and how they're planning. And that'll give them enough information to realize that they should bloody well make an appropriate creative for that audience, right? If you're going after, you know, people in the Middle East, men age 30 or whatever, the message should be different to people who are over 70 and live in East London. You know, that it's just a no-brainer. But as you start to unpick some of the complexity of how that all actually works, it becomes challenging. And so I think the first thing I would say is the reason why it hasn't been front and centre is because media consolidation hadn't happened.
Yeah.
So I think it's back to my first point, was there were so many different vendors. All of those vendors different pitching different options and media buying strategies, and I think that was hard to then overlay a creative platform on top of it. So I think that was the first thing. I think the second thing is no one has been championing creative. You know, the creative agencies are there saying, look, we want to spend a lot of money on your TV ad. You know, that's where we want to focus our budgets. I've been there along with some of the other tech vendors that you've probably talked about or know, I'm saying, look, creative, digital creative really matters. But some of them have even struggled to really create this kind of, proof point behind it really being as influential as people think. And so I think we needed more data to show that there was this opportunity. And I think that we've done a really good job of that at Adlib. We've got a lot of proof point, but like if you optimize creative, you drive performance. So second thing is, I think, just education and the industry game behind it. And then the third thing is, I think it's being accelerated by the cookie. So like the stuff, you know, and I blame Exchange Y. I think you guys talk a lot about data and targeting. She's laughing.
I blame us too.
Yeah. You guys talk about data and targeting and IDs and cookies and all this stuff. And it's all changing, right? We're almost like going back to raw advertising. And I think, you know, getting the message right and thinking about that message and then using the data that is created from that messaging, right? A whole new ecosystem of creative data is appearing. Understanding what your consumer saw, understanding what they responded to, understanding like the impact of different colors and imagery and products and all this stuff. All of that data doesn't currently exist really in the industry. It's not prioritized. The priority is how we go to market with different audiences and how we target different websites. And I think as people start to realize and more data and evidence comes out around the importance and significance of this creative data, I hope we'll see a shift to that being more of a priority.
And so Alex, from your perspective, kind of who do you think should be the champion of creative? As Ollie just said, you know, there's no one really been shouting about it, and it can't just all sit on Ollie's shoulders, the poor man. So who should be really out there kind of pushing the creative agenda?
It's a difficult thing to do, and it's a difficult question to answer, because I think first and foremost it should be the brands, because I think it's what the consumer is demanding. We're seeing that now, because consumers are becoming much more in control of how their data is being shared and the content that they consume. And so the consumer is demanding for better creative, better content. And so we as brands need to facilitate that. I think going back to your previous question, creative is really, really difficult. And I think that when you saw the beginning of advertising, if we go back, you know, many, many years before digital, you know, it's a sample size of one, it's a CMO in a boardroom. And, you know, what is going to be the decision of what a brand will bring to market is really about how risky or how risk adverse that brand is going to be. As soon as you start to say that digital is going to be the platform by which creative is designed, the willingness of CMOs to relinquish control and therefore become more risky because digital starts to create ads for you, I think people get a little bit nervous, especially at legacy brands, because the risk of something going wrong is high in marketing, as we all know. Now that obviously we can't go to such contextual levels of, or now we are moving contextual, but now that we can't go so specific as one-to-one, you know, we're going back to the content being more important. And so I think that there's an opportunity for marketeers to say, we are the ones to sort of champion creative being at the forefront of what we do. I think we need to make sure that we are delivering what the consumer wants. And I think then we have to be responsible to our own operations to say, okay, well, how can we effectively do that at a manner that is, you know, appropriate and also, you know, utilizes the resources and the budgets that we have available to us in the most effective ways. And so I think that's where we get this intersection of technology being applied to creative in a much more considered way than it was historically.
And many during the last 2 years of the pandemic, that there's been a lot of talk around digital transformation, and many marketers have experienced hyper growth when it comes to digital transformation that they've never would have experienced before. And they've really had a chance to kind of put their focus onto it. And there's also been talk around this kind of notion of creative transformation and the role creatives played in that. Have you found the same at Etihad as your business accelerated digitally a lot over the past couple of years? And what role has then creative played in that process as well?
Yeah, tremendously. And I think that, you know, I think all organizations are going to face this, right? As we see, you know, the digital transformation, in air quotes to your listeners, continuing and only continuing at a much more accelerated rate, right? As we move into sort of web 3.0 or web 3, however it's being called, that seems to be changing on a daily basis. I think that we need to continue to invest in those resources and technologies. And I think that having creative technology that allows us to sit across the principal distribution networks is going to be the most important thing. And then we'll have to see how we can utilize other technologies companies like Ollie's will expand into areas where maybe it's new platforms, new opportunities across channel in order for us to kind of continue to be effective and to be competitive, because that is where the industry is going and we need to stay at the forefront of that.
Absolutely. And within that, of course, there's the whole conversation around cookieless. And the cookieless conversation brings with it, which I don't want to talk to death about cookieless and IDs with, as Ollie has highlighted, it's all ExchangeWise seems to talk about at the moment. So let's have a 5 minutes of not talking about that, shall we?
Hey, yeah. And I was going to ask, what do you think, Lindsay? You know, like we've given our view, you know, as someone who writes a lot, like in the industry, why do you think creative has remained, you know, not perhaps not as front and centre as it could be?
I think that the challenges with this industry sometimes are that it can become one giant echo chamber of the same types of people saying the same types of things. And unfortunately, certainly in the kind of the ad tech industry and the digital marketing industry, the people that are the talking the loudest aren't necessarily the people that are doing the most. And I think that the opportunity for creative experts within that field has kind of been few and far between. There just haven't been enough of them. Like, I asked you both kind of who the champion of creative should be. And Alex, you said, interestingly, that the brands should, because it's about what the consumers ultimately want. And that I find very interesting, because I think that that is absolutely true. And I totally agree with that. But I think also there hasn't been enough championing from other people on your behalf either. Like in terms of there's a lot of, you know, in my experiences from media agency days, the infighting between media agencies and creative agencies around who owns the creative process from a digital perspective has always been a challenging one, and one that, from what I can tell, is still quite rampant. And that, I think, is a problem. And that means this infighting allows the other kind of noisier people to kind of keep shouting louder, and creative never becomes part of that conversation. And that's where I see it. I feel like it's such an important thing that it feels like the conversation hasn't really moved on in 10 years. And that I find massively concerning and a giant shame, because ultimately, you know, we talk all the time about this is for the consumer. The consumer is ultimately what we're doing all of this for, making sure that they are getting the best experience possible in the most data privacy safe way, in a way that they actually feel kind of engaged with. And creative is a fundamental part of that. And I think we're getting it wrong.
I completely agree. I mean, you know, even if we just take a step back and we look at like the internet as a whole, funded by ads, you know, that those ads are have blocked users, impose blockers when they think that the ad experience is no good. And that can be a targeting thing, but a lot of the time it's a creative thing. I can remember all those fat loss ads. Remember the old days, lose 70%.
I mean, remember them all. I'm still seeing them. They're everywhere.
Yeah. And I think the point is, like, actually not that much has changed. So we have to try, you know. And, you know, this is why I'm so keen on these data points around the impact of creative on campaign performance, because we have kind of a responsibility to the user to make sure, and actually brands do, to make sure that what they're seeing is half decent. And I think that, as I say, and you say, all of this time and energy goes into certain areas in our space. And, you know, what the user actually experiences is forgotten. I think our industry is terrible at forgetting about the user, right? We get bogged down by the ad tech ecosystem, talking about how we're going to manage data and improve targeting. And we forget what actually matters is how the person who sees that piece of content responds, and whether it makes an impact. And we need to sort it out, right? Because there's going to be bigger implications for advertising budgets. Those implications have an impact on actually like the quality of the content online. And so our whole industry, you know, without getting too big picture thinking, does need to step it up in this space. And I hope that like businesses like ours and conversations like this and can help.
But I think you can bring it into a big picture conversation, because ultimately that is what it is, right? It's very important to look at it from that perspective. Otherwise, you do become too entrenched and too kind of short-sighted on one area. And that area often is the area where creative is not thought of, and that gets missed. So it does need to be brought out in a broader conversation. And actually, you said the word person. Another problem we forget about the consumers, because we keep calling them consumers. Yeah. And yes, they are consumers. They're also users, but, you know, they're not drug addicts. Well, you know, some of them obviously are, but in terms of like how we are talking about them, they're humans, they're people. And I think that we forget that, and we're people too, and we consume these ads. And I think advertising is fairly terrible, and I get advertised, targeted by, but I keep talking about this on the podcast, driving everyone mad, crane planning apps, farm filtration systems. You know, who on earth, what do people think I am that I'm getting these kind of ads? It's absolutely crazy. But, it, you know, as a consumer, as a user, I'm baffled by some of the creative experiences that I experience all the time. And it's, I find it interesting. Alex, what are your thoughts on, I think the interesting thing that the opportunity to bring Cookieless back into conversation again is that this represents, in my opinion, a great creative opportunity around targeting. You know, there's talk around, you know, what you can do with hyperlocal and how you can target down to a postcode level, target different people in different places. And Alex, for Etihad, that must obviously be a very, very important part of what you do in terms of how you're targeting people kind of in a moment. We talk about, you know, within terms of context, moving away from like old KPIs like viewability, even clicks and impressions to a degree, actually looking at attention, looking at engagement, looking at understanding your audience and how, and you know, if a KPI moves from being CPA to audience growth, how does that then change what creative looks like? And actually, if we're trying to get people's attention and not just see how long an ad appeared on a page, that must represent huge opportunities for you as a marketer.
I think it does completely. I mean, and we like to speak about the consumer as guests here at Etihad. So I think we are one step closer to speaking about people as real people. But for everybody who is a potential guest of the airline, I think that, you know, we want to make sure that we're delivering the right message to them. And I think that to your question about how we're understanding marketing metrics goes back to Ollie's point as well about advertising budgets. We, you know, we speak about the consumer or the guest or the person again and again, but we forget that the people who are funding the ads are businesses at the end of the day, and we need to make sure that we can show that we're driving real revenue growth in the long term and also in the short term. And so I think that with the continued advancement of how creative is served, there's only going to be more pressure put on creative agencies or individuals who are creating content to make sure that that content is, and that creative is better, for lack of a better word. Because if it's not actually showing real results to the business, then it's not going to be something that continues to be delivered. And so I think there's actually going to be more pressure put on creative agencies to work with media agencies, to work with creative technologists, so that we are improving the quality of our advertising, so that we can actually show real business returns and real revenue growth in the long term.
Absolutely fascinating. And Ollie, I want to ask you the same question. Before that, I want to draw on Alex's point about creative agencies. You know, if they don't, I'm generalizing massively here, of course, I'm not applying to every creative agency, but if they don't change what their approach is, what do you think the future is for creative agencies?
I think, look, agencies are great at evolving, right? And we've seen that in the media agencies in particular, identifying this opportunity from a revenue perspective with digital creative. So I think they will evolve. But I just wish it would happen a bit faster, because I think there's a massive opportunity for them to make more money, actually. You know, we're all in this to make money. And I think if the creative agencies understood better the targeting strategies that were being deployed, that would immediately create an opportunity for more versions, right? And I think if they realize the opportunity for more versions, they then realize that perhaps there's an opportunity for optimization and real-time updates, and to actually take more control of how the brand interacts with their consumer, you know, or their customer. I think there's been a big miss there, and an opportunity, a big miss from an opportunity perspective from the creative agencies. And I, by the way, I don't think it's gone. So I think there's still the chance to get in there and create the same sort of structures that, you know, we saw from the trading desks, you know, kind of like 7-8 years ago, where the agencies were actually saying, hey, look, we will manage the buying centrally via a team, and we'll optimize it, we'll bid correctly, we'll understand what's going on, we'll approach it holistically. Wouldn't it be amazing if the creative agencies were like, hey, look, we're going to set up, for O2 or for Etihad, we're going to set up a team who are going to leverage technology and use that technology to take advantage of, you know, the optimization opportunity within creative, take advantage of the creative data opportunity, think about how when they can see the audiences that are being targeted on the media side, they assign a relevant message or some relevant content to that message. And so I think there's a huge untapped opportunity there. And I would love, by the way, creative agencies, if you're listening, I'd love to come and work with you, right? Like I've been trying, I went on a roadshow last year and I talked to quite a few of them, and it just wasn't the right time for various reasons. But, you know, I really think there is a big opportunity. If they don't change, the media agencies will mop this space up.
And then what does that mean, though? Wasn't the right time? I mean, in terms of, surely, given that we've talked about the fact that we've been talking about this for 10 years and nothing's really moved on, surely it's always the right time, especially from a creative agency perspective, to actually embrace this.
Yes.
Nothing further said.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, like, I'm not sure I understand why it isn't being more prioritised, right? It just makes me think, and maybe Alex, you can help me understand this, but it makes me think maybe the owner on the brand side that the creative agencies are dealing with are so focused on TV, and there's so much money and margin in the TV market that there isn't a need to evolve. Right.
I would agree with that. I think that there's been a legacy problem in marketing in general, and I think that a lot of people who are in senior positions probably were focused on television. But if you speak to the vast majority of really, really strong creative teams or award-winning creatives, but be that a planner, be that a strategist, be that a creative director, the vast majority of their brilliant work, they will say, came from a great client brief. And yet we have an abundance of insights and data and information about our consumer that is changing on a daily basis that could inform brilliant creative to be developed on a daily basis. And so I think that there definitely needs to be a shift in the model overall, because there's more information now about the consumer than there ever has been before. And so we've always said that, it was the fact that no one saw our advertising as the reason why it failed. I think that there is absolutely no question in anyone's minds now that the advertising is being put out there, and there is a lot of, there are a lot of safeguards in place to make sure that we can track that the consumer is seeing it. So I think that if it isn't being absorbed, or if it isn't being engaged or driving real results, we can actually start to point to the creative being the fault.
That's a very interesting perspective, actually, in terms of out and out kind of blaming the creative for the failure of the advertising. And that's often not what is, the creative never really comes into the conversation, actually. It's like, why didn't the ad work? It's because of where it was placed. It's because of what time it was, because of the audience. And actually, that's a really interesting point. Like, make creative as accountable as every other piece of data that you have. Makes a lot of sense, right?
Well, it wasn't as measurable, right?
Well, that's very true.
But now it is. And like, as I say, the data that is coming back and these tools and technologies and artificial intelligence models that can understand the makeup of images and content and colors and stuff, all of that creates this amazing data set that can be queried to see whether there are consistencies. When you show this video, does it work there, then that video, et cetera, et cetera. I think that, to answer your previous question about what's slowed down, I think the measurability in an industry that's obsessed with measuring everything, the measurability of creative has been challenging until quite recently, actually.
And how, because obviously I asked Alex earlier about, we're looking at different metrics and kind of what KPIs are important to you now. They're evolving in terms of how we're looking at what does success look like for you is the obvious question, isn't it? And that question and answer seems to be changing quite a lot. And we talked about attention, and we talked about kind of, different types of targeting are available. What are some really effective ways that creative is being used in that environment?
Well, look, it's a really interesting question, because I think the immediate way that people think about creative, or the quick win, is like relevance. So, as I said earlier, if you're targeting audiences, you should have a relevant message. But there is so much more that people don't think about. And that's what's kind of exciting, is for the right creative thinkers, I think there's a huge amount of untapped opportunity with creative. Things like, DCO, traditional DCO has always been about audience, mass production of the assets, etc., against different audiences. But actually what becomes really interesting is when, you can understand, for example, that a specific team is playing, and you can target the region with a piece of content around, the match for your team is starting in the next 24 hours. Potentially you could sell them access to that game online now. They could log on and buy it, or if they haven't bought it, they could be retargeted with a message saying, hey, we think you're a supporter of Sunderland or whatever. The game starts in 2 hours, or like the game's kicking off, or they've just scored. All of this stuff is available now via data feeds. And Etihad, a big believer in this stuff, understanding, whether it be flights and fill rates and all this kind of thing. All that stuff is important levers for driving their business. That's just a couple of examples, but I think that we've got tons. The creative really is an extremely powerful lever, and the data that's being generated from it is almost the most powerful thing I think the industry's seen for quite some time. We just need to create more stories, around it.
And do you think it often becomes too faffy to look at the creative opportunities in that kind of depth. I mean, so Ollie, you just mentioned that obviously Etihad and Alex, you're working with how you can target your customers and your guests in different ways, and understand kind of where they are, what they're doing, kind of what flights relevant to them, kind of how Etihad as a brand is right for them. You know, we've always seen, oh, you can use feeds from pollen counts, use feeds from weather to be able to iterate different times of creative, and it always feels like a nice to have, but when it comes down to actually activating it and executing it, everyone just kind of goes, oh, this is too much effort, it's too much work. Is that been a blocker? Has that been a barrier sometimes? And how do you overcome that kind of barrier?
Well, I think that there's two parts to your question, right? I think that the first part is, do we look at those as opportunities that we can leverage in order to make better creative? And the short answer for that is yes, because I think that there is, people do want that in terms of their advertising. They want advertising that's relevant to them in a very detailed manner. But I do think that you see a diminishing return in some instances in terms of the level of investment that you'd have to put in order to develop all those different iterations or set up the creative in a way. So it's about finding the balance between what's effective for the business and what's going to actually drive consumer behavior in another way. And I think that to answer your second question, which is, oof, that seems like a lot of work, I think that goes back to an earlier point that you were making, which is when our creative agencies or when our marketeers going to wake up and say, this is what we need to be doing, because this is the way that the industry works these days, and this is the way it will continue to evolve in the future. And so it really, the onus, I think, is on everybody to say, how, rather than that seems like a lot of work, how can we set up processes? How can we develop teams? How can we build skill sets? How can we educate executives? How can we educate salespeople? How can we educate people across the organization, whether it's here at Etihad or whether it's, you know, within the industry as a whole, to understand what can be done? Because I think that the can is a really big potential, and people will want to do that work when they see what that potential could unlock.
Yeah, I think that's a very interesting point. And actually, it ties in really well with my next question was going to be for you, Ollie, kind of in terms of, obviously, you've just been acquired. We've mentioned it a fair few times on the podcast already. What do you think that means for the message about how important creative actually is and will become? And, you know, Alex is talking about the fact that we shouldn't be kind of using these as almost as excuses to not do something. Like, this is what the consumers are. I keep saying consumers, I keep saying I don't like it. This is what they're asking for. This is what how we need to be able to engage with them. You know, this, you guys being acquired is a really kind of important kind of statement of intent, really, isn't it?
Yeah, I hope so. I think it is. I think the answer is it's all about automation, and that's what the whole industry has been talking about. And, you know, Smartly are a very well-known automation platform around social, right? So they're very good at setting up ad sets and managing multi-market campaigns and managing and driving performance and optimizing media performance. And AdLib is all about automating as much of that process, that clunky process that you're talking about earlier, around the creative side of things. So making sure that we can streamline things that were, as you say, very tricky and maybe like seemed a bit a step too far or a bit like of a bore. You know, like all these things we looked at and we're like, oh, actually, we can work through a lot of these problems and automate a lot of the solutions. And I think fundamentally what Smartly AdLib is about bringing both media and creative closer together, making sure that advertisers and agencies like Alex can understand both the impact of the media side and the audience targeting strategies, but also the creative side, and feel like they have an optimization capability on both sides, right? You know, too often we still see that the creative is assigned to a line item or an ad set, and like the buyer doesn't even look at the creative, let alone like think about optimizing it. So I think bringing these two things together is really, really important. And actually, you know, the really nice thing about the acquisition is that we have gone to the market and we've said, hey, look, the market is changing, right? There's lots going on. We don't know exactly what's going to happen, but we want to hear from customers like Alex and other customers that we have at both businesses, what are the big things that the big hitting worries that you have going into the next few years? You know, like how you think about marketing more broadly, you know, what are the challenges that you're facing around creative production and automation and et cetera, et cetera. And I think that's been a very honest way to approach this. You know, customers are really enjoying engaging with us and talking to us about how they're thinking about their next, like, five-year plan. And it's been very, I guess, eye-opening, you know, talking to customers and hearing how they're thinking about the goals. And the role of my role, I guess, for the next year is to try and help structure the engineering capabilities around that and make sure we continue to really solve the biggest problems for customers. But I think if we can bring creative and media closer together, which, you know, was separated about 10, 15 years ago, will be a long way to solving many of these problems and reducing kind of that clunkiness and pain in the ass stuff that you talked about earlier.
I think it also represents a blurring the lines and coming together of, you know, media, marketing, social, which always feels like a bit of an outlier, how they come together. And obviously, the Smartly aspect brings that more into play, right? And Alex, how you've been working, obviously, with Smartly and with AdLib separately, and now, I guess, together in some capacity. And the automation aspect that Ollie, you just talked about, and how important that is to kind of help you be able to manage all of this. From a creative perspective, does this help you across different channels? Because you could argue there are certainly digitally native brands, the kind of DTC or challenger brands that do the creative really, really well because they're almost social first. And compared to more legacy brands that are always TV first, are we actually finding there's an opportunity to learn from those kind of brands? And actually, how you're engaging in social channels, is that helping you with understanding how you can do better in terms of kind of digital TV channels? I mean, you know, CTV arguably in the UK and across EMEA, or certainly Europe, is CTV is mostly YouTube rather than kind of what you see out in the US. But is it helping you understand cross-channel creative better, you know, not just from digital to TV, but also from social and, you know, even audio, and pulling all those aspects in together more easily?
Yes, absolutely. I think that, you know, we are putting more and more of our investment into digital marketing, and we'll continue to do that. And so for us, you know, having partners like AdLib and Smartly is critical, because it helps us understand, you know, how to be more effective when it comes to sort of multi-platform, multi-channel advertising. And, you know, as connected TV, as you know, all of these become much more prevalent from a consumer perspective, it's important for us to be working with sort of the people who understand this the best, and also who can help us the best. I think one of the benefits that we get from, and this isn't certainly not intended to be an advertisement for Ollie or for Smartly, but I think one of the things that we do get from organizations that come from sort of the startup world is that the solution hasn't already been predefined prior to the meeting. The solution is one that is developed together, and it's often because of the business challenge that we come to the meeting with. And so when we are looking at different opportunities, different challenges, different areas we want to expand in, the ability for both sides of the table to have a very open discussion about what could be done. It might not be what can be done today, but what could be done in the future, and then work towards that, is very healthy. And I think that a lot of organizations should approach that as we move forward, because it goes back to an earlier point that we were making, which is that it's a continuing evolving landscape. And so thinking about the could versus the can is very important.
That's interesting and an excellent point. And actually, the solution that you just talked about there isn't just to kind of like must be defined before the meeting even starts, but actually must be able to be constantly evolved, must be flexible as your business needs change, I'm assuming.
Absolutely, absolutely. And automation will continue to help that, and understanding how we can adapt the advertising that we're doing to be more effective for us as a business, but more appropriate for our guests is critical. And I think that, you know, having partnerships like the ones we do in place with AdLib, but with other partners as well, will continue to help us do that in the future.
Interesting. And Ollie, you know, so Smartly are a Finnish company, and they have a global remit. And obviously AdLib are a UK company, and you expanded in different markets kind of quite quickly, and you've seen some great success in markets like the Emirates, like Asia Pacific, like Southeast Asia. And it's fascinating to kind of see that and see kind of where these kind of tools and where kind of creative transformation is very, very important to certain marketers in certain areas. But also it's a really good indictment of UK British tech, right? Like, how is that exciting for you to see kind of there's opportunities here for UK tech? There's still acquisition opportunities, particularly, you know, UK creative tech, which I can't really think of many of them. This is a great promotion for that kind of technology, right?
Yeah, no, I think it is. And, you know, one thing I'm so proud of is that we're, you know, a British-born business without getting too Brexit on it. You know, like, you know, it's, you know, it's, we all started here, and I think there were lots of amazing schemes that supported us to get going. The industry is amazingly supportive of startups, you know, whether that be on the agency side, the direct brand side. you know, we don't see that in all markets, but in the UK, people give you a punt.
And the funding and investment side as well, right?
Well, yeah,
loads
exactly.
of tax breaks from the government. Yep.
Exactly. The government is incredibly supportive. So, like, there's SEIS and EIS, which are ways that you can get investment at low risk. There's also research and development credits. So, like, the government will support you if you are investing in innovation and fund some of it. So there's just so many great reasons to be thinking about starting your business. You know, I know we've gone down the route of saying like there is media consolidation happening and maybe that makes it harder for ad tech. But I think you also said that it creates a huge amount of opportunity and it simplifies the landscape a bit. And with simplicity also comes opportunity. And I think that, you know, I see lots of people starting businesses and it is so exciting to be, you know, to have exited and to be able to continue to support those businesses and help, right? We're all in this together. Being a startup founder is not an easy gig, I'd say. It's a lot of sleepless nights and, you know, luckily I was amazing. We had a great team and, you know, I've been very lucky with the people who've come and joined AdLib. But I think, you know, from a sort of like getting going and starting a business perspective, there's no better time than now.
You just referred yourself as amazing as well, which I find very yeah. Luckily, I was amazing and had a great team around
Thanks.
Me. Yeah. It's all me. Thanks, Ollie. Well done. But no, it is great. And you know, you have talked to me in the past about, you know, how challenging it's been and there's, you know, trying to break into different markets where, you know, why would they believe anything that you've got to say or trust you as kind of a UK tech company? But it does show that if you persevere and you stick with it, you know, you can get great things out of it. And it's a lesson and a kind of a great proof point to any business that's trying to start something new and be innovative in a certain area, right?
Yeah, totally. And, you know, I've been very lucky, as I say, we've had amazing customers and the team have supported. But people like you, right, who were open to taking that first meeting when we had a coffee and you knew nothing about this.
And the chocolate lollipop.
You knew nothing about what we were doing, but there are amazing people like you out there who are just open to having these chats, and it's that stuff that gets you going. You know, we had a finance client who was our first customer, and I'll never forget the client at the time saying, "Hey, look, we can't accept." You know, I came with a sort of shaking with my first IO, and he said to me, "You know, like I can't accept that. It's too low." And it was like an eye-opening moment for me because he said, "Look, can you just times it by three and I can take it to procurement?" And I was like, "Yeah, sure, no problem."
You're an embarrassment.
We can do that overnight, you know. But the point was, like, all these people were trying to help us learn, you know, how to crack the industry. And, you know, I've been extremely lucky to have amazing support around me for the whole journey. But, yeah.
Oh, what an emotional moment.
Yeah.
Very, very lovely. And I wouldn't have believed we could talk for so long about creative, but actually it's a really fascinating conversation. It's really interesting. There's still probably even more to delve into that we haven't even touched upon. But we are running out of time. And I do want to kind of end with a, you know, if I were a marketer or agency or a creative agency listening to this, and I wanted to understand how I can really embrace the new opportunities that exist around creative, you know, from both your perspectives as a marketer and as the founder of a creative tech brand, technology supplier, what's your advice? I'm going to come to you first, Alex, put you on the spot there. Kind of how do you get started in really embracing creative?
Well, if you don't mind, Lindsay, I will just comment on the startup environment in the UK. And I think that, you know, being here in the UAE gives a very good perspective on a global startups. I think especially when it comes to sort of tech and media, a lot of the conversation is sort of centered on the US because obviously many of the big players are centered out of there. And it's quite easy to forget that internationally, whether it's here in the UAE, whether it's in the UK, whether it's in Europe or in APAC, there's a lot of very interesting people doing great work. And so I would say to anybody who is thinking, should I start? To echo Ollie's point, you know, definitely start because there are always going to be people who will support you. And you know, as is the case with AdLib and Etihad, you know, it's a global brand working with a company out of the UK. So there's always opportunities for collaboration. But then to answer your point about sort of what would be my advice, I think probably the thing I would really echo from an earlier point in the conversation is to think away from traditional Big Bang creative as what creative is. I think that as advertisers, the historic legacy has always been, I want to win an award for an amazing Super Bowl ad. And you know, if a creative agency, whether that be tech, media, or advertising, were able to come to me and say, we've got a great idea, and it's really centered around, you know, your guests and what it can do for your business, and it isn't going to cost $7.5 million for 30 seconds, then the door will be wide, wide open for those ideas to see the light of day. So I think if you think away from, you know, what is traditionally the award-winning creative and think about, you know, how can you use nuance to tell a really good story, that would be my starting point.
That is a really, really excellent point. Don't allow creative to be too daunting for you. Yeah, brilliant. And Ollie, your perspective on this?
I think, like, I'm really excited, you know, as a bit geek of a geeky person, about creative becoming an optimization lever. So, like, the whole industry has optimized media and data and bidding and all this stuff. And no one has ever really bothered to optimize creative, really, you know? And I think if we can get to the stage where across the funnel and across different channels, we're understanding in real time what's actually working and driving performance, and we can make changes using that insight, I think creative could be a really powerful optimization capability. And that, I think, is a good starting point to get people who haven't thought about this space and who are, you know, approaching the changes that are coming with the cookie and, you know, various other industry changes. It's a good starter point to just think about, like, maybe there is an opportunity here that I'm not currently taking advantage of. And so I think that's it for me. That's it.
Yeah, that feels like a brilliant way to end the conversation. Thank you so much, Alex and Ollie, for joining me today.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Really enjoyed it.
Yeah. I did as well. Really good conversation. And thank you to our wonderful listeners. This has been the Mad Tech Podcast.